The following content is intended for people who are blind or print impaired.
Engage.
You are listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm Chris Skidmore, and this is Tech Tips. Before we get started, I want to let you know about an event coming up in December. Accessible Pharmacy, an internet-based company focused on the needs of the blind, deafblind, and low vision community, is holding a free virtual expo Friday, December 2nd from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Spend the day visiting virtual exhibit booths of companies specializing in products and services for people who are blind or have low vision. For more information or to register for the expo, visit accessiblepharmacy.com and click on the expo link located at the top of the page. This month, we're taking assistive tech low tech with the all-terrain cane, a cane designed for people who love the outdoors and staying active off the beaten path. We'll be talking with the cane's inventor, David Epstein, about the cane itself, why he developed it, and how he hopes it will benefit the blind community. With all that said, hey, Dave, thanks for joining us today.
Morning, Chris. It is so awesome to be here. What a thrill.
I am looking forward to this because you and I have been talking for a while, and I love the idea of this cane. You know, we've been talking a little bit before, and judging from our conversation, you have led just one incredible life full of multiple careers and hobbies. So before we talk about the cane, let's find out a little bit about you. Who is David Epstein?
Who am I? I'm 58 years old, and I have RP. I have retinitis pigmentosa. Diagnosed when I was 18, the majority of my life was really a normal life. You know, I had a driver's license, regular careers. RP really affected the second half of my existence. But I was born and raised in Worcester, Massachusetts. But as a kid, you know, like every kid, I wanted to be an astronaut. Right? And a fireman. Grew up a little bit, and my astronaut dreams ultimately led to corporate aviation. Wanted to be a corporate pilot. So there I went. I went out to Arizona to Embry-Riddle, tried to pursue my dreams as a corporate pilot. Reality set in. I know I have RP. I know that at some point I have to face reality. So hung up my wings. Ultimately, I ended up as a surveyor in Boston on the East Coast. I was involved in a lot of really great and big projects, the Big Dig for one, a lot of big union surveying, very exciting, a lot of problem solving skills were developed there. My formal education was in forestry, specializing in fuels management, fancy word for firefighting. All right, so I got to live my dream as a fireman. I spent about a decade, it was beautiful, great experiences, about a decade on the fire line, cutting line, managing fires, backburning, you know, everything that involves wildland firefighting. And it was really there and going to school in Arizona for flying where I just developed my love for the American Southwest. I love the area, the culture, and the trails. The land out there has just got trails and backcountry and wilderness, and I just love being outdoors. 2016, relocated to Sedona, and I was surrounded by 400 some odd miles of trails accessible from my front door. I thought this is great. I am home. I am hiking. I've got to stay out on the trails. A couple years into my existence here in Sedona, my eyes really, really tanked. I wasn't supposed to be as bad as I am today, but my vision dropped very rapidly from about 15 degrees central to about 7, and I got the fear. I need to do something. I've got to get on top of O&M training. I've got to do something to ensure my future as a progressively blind individual. So that's when I really started in with the state of Arizona and orientation and mobility training. That's really where the story of the all-terrain cane begins.
Let's go ahead and kind of segue into that, and let's talk about the all-terrain cane itself.
Great story. Not an easy one to tell, and the story is just wrought with emotion. as all of our stories are. So moved here in 2016, and as I mentioned, my vision was really circling the drain. I've got to bring us to one pivotal day out on the trails. Let me set the stage. Late afternoon, my wife was leading us on the hike. The sun dipped below the horizon, you know, behind the mountain, and I just lost everything. I lost contrast. I lost light, depth perception. I'm losing my footing left and right, and I'm just not having a good day. At some point, my wife turned around, and with this look in her eyes, she said, "All right, we're in the middle of the most beautiful place in the world. You're surrounded by energy and beauty and greatness. What seems to be the problem?" Obviously, what was coming out of my mouth at the time was just pure poetry, stumbling over the rocks. And so I just stopped and I said, "Look, I can't do this. I can't see. I don't have any depth perception. I lost all the contrast. I don't belong here. I don't belong here. I can't do this. And I need something, but I don't know what it is." And at this point in the conversation, I found that my right arm was just jabbing itself into the ground, sort of simulating very aggressive caning. Remember, I've had a little bit of O&M training, and I have a taste of what that stick can do. But I found myself on the trail just really emphasizing, I need this. And I'm like trying to find the rocks and the water bars and the roots that are tripping me up. And I said, I need this, but I don't know what this is. That moment was really kicking the pebble that started the avalanche to where I am today. We all have these moments in life where something happens and we stop and we say, "That was significant. I don't know why. I don't know what it means now, but I'm going to save this for the future because that was a significant moment." And it was. Chris, that was a very important moment in my life because the rest of the day, my wife and I were decompressing and going over that moment. What do I need? What am I doing? As a surveyor, I was all about problem solving, and I suddenly realized I have a problem, that I'm not willing to stop hiking, but I need another tool that really wasn't yet on the market. So very soon after that day, I found myself at the local hiking stores looking for a blind mobility cane strong enough to keep me safe on the trails. It doesn't exist. So I found my way over to the trekking pole section, bought my very first pair of trekking poles and went to town. What do I need to do to make this effective for my needs? Ultimately, I created what I call the Mark One version of the all-terrain cane, and it worked. It was very effective with issues. All right. The tip wasn't right. The marshmallow tip wasn't working. The grip wasn't working. The locks weren't working. So a series of modifications, try a different tip, try a different grip. Ultimately, I went on to what I call the Mark II version. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. It's stronger, meeting my needs. And with the Mark II version, I really started making waves. But I kept running into some very unique problems. The cane telescopes, that is, one section slides into another section and then locks. As a blind person, that didn't work. There's really no way of determining where the end of the tubing is, where do we lock in, what's the right length. There are too many variables, and as a blind person, if I run across something that's different, I'll be resistant. I'll really dig my heels in. Went back to the drawing board, ultimately came up with what I call now the Mark III version, which is very, very similar to what we, the blind community, are familiar with in our street canes, the way it unfolds and the way it folds, the way it feels, how it looks. Very, very important that these canes look like canes. All right. My first two versions were black with a red and black grip. There was no indication that I can't see other than my performance. There were a number of hurdles that I had to cross to make the cane effective as a blind mobility cane out on the trails. What I have today is a beautiful Mark III version. It's very different from what we're used to on the street, and yet it looks very, very similar.
You're listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service, and today we're talking with David Epstein, inventor of the all-terrain cane. We've heard the story behind the cane and its development. So, David, why don't you tell us what makes this cane so different from your typical white cane?
Absolutely. And the ATC, all-terrain cane, really is unique. As I hike, I tend to adjust my grip. I start out with a cane grip or a golf grip. As I hike and ascend, I tend to choke up on the shaft a whole bunch. Descending, I'll tend to hike out and really let the length of the cane carry me down the hill. I need a full grip, especially ascending. I need a very what I call a positive grip, and gripping a smooth section of tubing really isn't giving me that positive grip. So I extended the soft grip to 16 inches. All right, it's not 9 inches, it's 16. The first half of the grip does have that flat section that we're used to, again, minimizing change. The second half of this grip is just a round profile that, again, allows us to grip and give us a nice choke up. At the bottom of this grip section is a flip lock. I've put the grip onto its own separate tube with a lock. This is going to allow us to adjust the length of the cane. It's shortest length, it's 51 inches. And as I open the flip lock and extend this grip upwards, I can add 10 inches to the cane. So one cane gives us from 51 to 61 inches of length. And the flip lock is a very positive lock, locks in, and it'll take all the weight we can give it. The cane itself is three sections. I didn't want to go with something ultra light like carbon fiber because it breaks. So I wanted to outperform. My canes are made of a grade 9 titanium alloy. Let's go aerospace technology here. I'm using titanium. And on the inside for the action, instead of having that bungee cord run all the way up, I'm using Kevlar, a Kevlar cord that's rated to 35 kilograms with a bungee that gives it its action, that allows it to snap into place. The bottom, I'm running with a 2-inch rolling ball that isn't just screwed together like the common rolling balls on the street today, but I'm actually having these balls welded, just super strengthening the whole system. Okay. The balls are replaceable. Something else interesting about the balls, they don't have to be white anymore. I checked into this, and white cane tips are white because, well, that's what the material is. So I'm producing, yes, white, but also a bright yellow, a red-orange, and a sherbet pink ball. No reason why we can't bling our canes up.
I totally agree with that sentiment.
Sure. There's no reason. No reason. Let's get some interest going. Maybe I'll create a Sedona version with a, I don't know, a teal or turquoise ball. You never know.
Yeah, and I see people donning one to, you know, color it to be their favorite sports team's color or whatever.
Absolutely. I've got a series of ideas about sports teams, and my team could be the RPs, and our mascot could be a block of Swiss cheese.
There you go.
You could have the retinal degenerates. I don't know. Sports, don't get me carried away on sports teams.
I don't know. I'm leaning towards the retinal degenerates right now. That's awesome.
Right. Okay, the ATC. It's got to look like a cane. So I made sure it is highly reflective white and red. With a label, I've got an all-terrain cane label that's in Braille, and you can feel it. So I've taken a basic cane and just souped it up all different directions that it's amazingly strong, lightweight, adjustable in length, and it'll get us where we want to be. I did develop this selfishly so I can hike, but over the summer, I found myself on the beaches of Rhode Island, and it dawned on me that this isn't just for hiking. This is effective on the beaches on the grandson's playground, parks, where I got the name all-terrain cane was at this moment where it dawned on me that every terrain that's not smooth asphalt, this cane's going to excel. Dirt roads, back countries, this cane is meant to last.
Yeah, anywhere that, you know, there's uneven terrain, this thing would just knock it out of the park.
Absolutely. And when I see people first start out on the ATC, and they're very tentative, they're very, you know, tap left and tap right, and I have to chuckle that, you know, get it into the dirt, grind it in it, use it for what it's there for. Find that rock, smash into the roots. it's meant to be discovering our tripping hazards out on the trail. Tentative caning be darned, get in there and grind it into the dirt.
So does the cane require any kind of special training other than traditional O&M, or is it just a question of getting the cane and getting out on the trail and getting dirty with it?
Great question. It doesn't require any additional training. As long as we get some basic O&M and learn what the cane does and how it serves us, obstacle detection, terrain, this is just what we need out in the backcountry. I did start just by normal caning, but on the trails, I realized I have to amend my caning habits. No longer can I just go 11 to 1 o'clock. I want to know what's next to me. You know, there could be a cliff next to
yeah,
me, or
yeah.
a mountain or a cactus. I'd love to know what's to my side. So I will go 9 to 3 on occasion. I will, and I don't know if there's a word for it, but kind of tippy-tappy, you know, tap-tap-tap, find out where my next safe step is going to be. I'll do that. My next safe step is up to me, and that's where the ATC comes in very, very good. If I have to take a steep step down, I will adjust my grip to a ski pole grip and lower myself so that my upper body is taking the weight, not my shoulder, so I don't blow a rotator cuff. So as I've logged my miles on the trails, I really have more or less written the book on blind caning, techniques to lower, to ascend safely. But I don't want to say the normal blind person, because there is no normal blind person. The person who just grabs the ATC and wants to go hiking for the first time, as long as we know some basic caning skills, we can do this. And then the skills will be picked up as we progress. Next time we hit the street, our caning skills are that much better. My street caning skills are that much more effective, and my confidence on the street has improved.
It's a nice little side effect.
Absolutely.
You're listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service. Today we're talking with David Epstein of the All Terrain Cane, and earlier you touched on the special ball tip that you had designed for the ATC. It got me wondering, are the tips interchangeable with maybe a tip from a normal cane?
I made sure the all-terrain cane can receive the standard half-inch slide-on tip. That was very important to me because this is a very flexible cane in its usage, that if I wanted to use it on the street, I can easily slide my 2-inch rolling ball off and slide on the rolling marshmallow. When the ball wears out, and it will, they all do, 2-inch balls or any other tip are easily replaced. I made sure that it was a standard size. That was very, very important to the design of this. If I can just say, thank goodness, grade 9 titanium can be cold and annealed. That was that's my geek part of the program. I had no idea what cold annealing was until I had to find, wow, this can be cold annealed to receive the half-inch slide-on tip.
That's awesome. So that does bring up an interesting question. I know you've been testing the cane for a while. What have you learned about the durability of the ball tip?
The balls are a molded plastic, and they all wear out.
Yeah.
I can't say mine are you know, they last 87 times longer. I can say that having the two halves of the ball welded together gives me just that much more confidence that the ball will last over the course of, I honestly don't know how many weeks or months or miles. But I have had to replace my first yellow ball once.
Mm-hmm.
I love the yellow. It looks really, really sharp. So I've had to replace one. I'm on my second ball tip. They do wear out, but they are replaceable.
Have you used the cane in wet and muddy conditions? And if so, how did it handle wet and muddy conditions?
I spend the summers on the East Coast. We do have family in Rhode Island and in Massachusetts. A lot of my summers are spent on the beaches.
Mm-hmm.
And the beaches are obviously sandy, wet with salt water, and very, very rocky out there. The ball tip does great on the rocks. Sand, and it skims over the sand, and it does great in bouncing and sounding off the rocks. I got it into the ocean many, many times. For testing purposes, not just for, you know, goofing around with a grand dude, but actually getting this cane tip into the ocean, into the sand, grinding it in there, soaking it in the salt water overnight, really abusing it, because I need to know, before I let this cane out into the public, I need to know what it can do. And honestly, Chris, at the end of the day, the ball tip is beautiful. It's a sealed bearing, and the sand washed out of, you know, that little area between the ball and the flange. And the next day, it rolled just beautifully. I was very impressed.
We've talked a lot about the cane and its construction, durability, and all that. Is there anything else that we missed that you want to cover?
The lanyard. Just a couple pieces of information that are of interest. We've got a professional blind skateboarder on our crew, great guy, and he expressed some interest in what he wants to see in the lanyard so that his hand can be in it. If he drops the cane, it won't fall to the ground, but it'll stay loose. Yeah. What are his needs for lanyard? Okay, we incorporated that. I had to do a little bit of modifying on the grip. The first two styles I didn't really like, so that got modified to where I finally gave a thumbs up. The flip lock, original flip lock, not good. Didn't meet my criteria for a performance lock. Ultimately, I told the factory I need much, much better. Now I have it. The label on the second section of tubing, I've got the wolf head, says all-terrain cane, and in Braille, all-terrain cane. And it's printed on the reflective material. I'm very impressed that you can feel. I don't read Braille, but you can feel all-terrain cane. It's neat. I love it. Highly reflective red, and with a 90-day warranty, I'm just super excited to be able to get this out into the market. We're anticipating the canes to be on the shelves by Christmas time. We gave the factory heads up, let's go to production. We're spooling up right now. All the molds are in place. So it's a matter of people staying healthy and staying in the game.
Awesome. So let's say, well, let's just go ahead and talk about that a little bit further. If someone is interested in the cane, how do they go about ordering one, and what's the process and the cost and all that?
Sure. Right now, the canes are available on our website, and that is awerewolfgear.com, and that's spelled AWAREWOLFGEAR, awerewolfgear.com. And right now, we just opened the site up to take pre-orders. We have a first batch of canes being produced. They will all be delivered for Christmas time. But if you want to reserve your cane now, absolutely hop on board and go into the pre-orders, and you can pick up a cane that way.
Okay.
We've got a couple other avenues that they will be available. We're working on them. I've got to keep those a little bit close to the chest right now, but they will be available in a few other popular venues, shall we say. And the MSRP on the cane is going to be $120.
Okay.
And the balls themselves, I don't know what they're going to list at separately, but I've got some ideas on balls and ball packages. I mean, we know they're going to wear out. So I'm thinking ball of the month club, frequent baller club, ball packages, one of each color. But being able to provide multi-packs of balls, I think it's going to be effective as well because they do wear out. They will be available as well aftermarket.
We've talked about the tips. The handle padding, how mm-hmm. well did that hold up?
I hope it's going to hold up great.
Okay.
I don't have the experience.
You haven't worn it out yet, and that's what's important.
This is me on honesty day, right? This is me on honesty day. It's a great handle, and I don't have, to be honest, the miles and miles of experience on this grip on the trails.
Okay.
I've been afforded a couple prototypes. The first prototype wasn't really trail worthy, but the second one was, and I'm beating them to death on the trails, working them as hard as possible to see what kind of use and abuse they can take. But so far, the foam grips are holding up just terrifically.
Awesome. Is there anything else you would like to cover while I got you?
Oh, goodness. I mean, other than the amazingness of the all-terrain cane, I'm super excited about it. It very rarely do I have an idea in my head, and then when it comes to fruition, it's in my hands exactly the same. And the ATC really, really has met or surpassed my thoughts on it. So I'm very pleased with that. If I were to point us in any direction right now, I know I keep mentioning a werewolf gear.
Yeah, what is that?
A werewolf gear is high visibility clothing for low vision people. And when you go onto the website, you will see a line of shirts that I've created for the blind community to bring awareness to our world, to the sighted community, that we might not see you coming in a very politically correct, respectable way. It's not loud or obnoxious. I don't look like a traffic cone, but The shirts are high contrast, great looking, beautiful designs, and some of them even have the word blind on them. Ooh, oh, I'm out, it's exposed, I'm blind, it says so on me. You know what it does?
Yeah.
Because some people might need to know that I can't see them coming in an intersection or in a line at a bank or for whatever reason, and this solves that uncomfortable conversation before it begins. So I'm super proud of the line. And they look great. I'm very excited to be stepping, again, out of the box, shattering a paradigm and coming out and saying, yes, I'm blind. And it says so right here. When I first picked up the cane and I was at that intersection of the busy streets and I felt so vulnerable and everybody's staring at me and like, oh, they all know that I'm blind and I can't see. The fear that generated, I got over that.
Yeah.
And now I'm rather proud of being blind with a cane in front of me. On the trails, when someone sees that, I don't get the pity. I don't get the, you know, oh, you poor dear sweet lamb. No, it's good on you, dude. You know, way to go.
Yeah, most
and
definitely.
I don't hike for the accolades. I hike for me. But when someone stops and recognizes and says, dude, look at you, it feels good because I'm not taking no for an answer. And the cane and the shirts are all part of it. They're all part of this empowerment movement, this confidence, this freedom, outdoorsmanship.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure if that's a word yet or not, but blind outdoorsmanship.
We'll make it a word.
There you go.
I'll tell you, with all that said, give us the website one more time where folks can go and learn more about the cane and possibly even order one.
Absolutely. The website is awerewolfgear.com. And again, that's AWARE WOLF. GEAR.
Awesome.
Very quickly, a werewolf gear. Where did that come from? Well, I've got RP.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that at some time today, it's going to get dark, right? It always has, and it always will. Being an RP, I know I'm going to need a flashlight or three. All right, so be prepared. Have a flashlight with me all the time, right? I know I'm going to go somewhere. Have the cane with me at all time. Just be prepared because I know what's coming down the road. Right. So as long as I'm aware, I've got this covered.
Exactly. I am going to take this moment and say thank you very much for your time. And I do appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Oh, Chris, it was a joy. It was an absolute pleasure. It's always a pleasure to work with our peeps, our community. And what a joy this is. I never imagined developing this cane for my people. It was selfishly for me. I want to keep hiking. When I saw the light, I get to be able to help my community, and what a thrill that is. What a thrill to take the vulnerable person who just lost his sight, who just was diagnosed, and he's got that fear. What is life going to look like for my future? What can I not do now? Going to the beach, being where you want to be, hiking? No reason. No reason why you can't still enjoy these. That's my message of empowerment to the blind community.
Once again, I'd like to thank David Epstein for taking time to talk with us about the all-terrain cane. If you'd like to learn more about the cane or pre-order one, the website address is awerewolfgear.com. We've run out of time for this month's episode of Tech Tips. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Chris Skidmore, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Tech Tips is available online at ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, give us a call at 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service.